All right, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680, with our philosopher, and this is the last one we'll do this season. That is with third base coach of the Giants, Phil Nevin. How are you?
I'm well. You know, three games left, and it's, you know, obviously our goals have changed throughout the year, but, you know, we're still out here working, and we're going to give everything we got for the last 3 days. It's just, you know, these guys are all professionals. That's one big thing I've taken away from my first year here is these guys are pros, these players, the staff, everybody involved. It's really been a professional atmosphere, and, you know, unfortunately it hasn't gone the way we wanted to, but we've taken the field every day with the right approach, and, you know, it's fun to be a part of this this organization and the tradition here, and we'll be back again next year.
Well, it's a good segue into the next question. That is, of course, we see your name in the paper all the time now. John Heyman wrote about it, and the Tigers are looking for a new manager. You've managed in their farm system before. And the question I ask you, of course, who knows what would happen, but what is an interview like when someone interviews you for a managerial job? Do they give you an IQ test, or what do they do? Do they bring you in and ask you colors or Rorschach test? What do they do?
Well, I've been through a few of them. But each one's different. Just depends on the, you know, ownership, general manager, who's involved. You know, a lot of different questions, scenarios. You know, some last all day, some are a couple hours. You know, but all, like I said, all different. But the same body of work of questions. You're gonna, you know, a lot of it is leadership qualities and communication skills, and you know, they go right into, you know, how you would like to construct your roster, your bullpen, your lineups, your things like that, and then you know, sometimes there's been cases where they've had you know kind of script out a lineup for a weekend and stuff like that. It's, to me, it's fun. It's been good experiences each one. I've probably learned a lot out of each one, you know, I'm not looking ahead right now. You know, we got work to do today and tomorrow and Sunday, and those things don't all fall into place after the seasons are over and like they have been the last few years. So, you know, one day, you know, hopefully, you know, do I want to manage? I mean, that's not a secret. I've certainly learned a lot here from Boach in 1 year, working underneath him and instead of playing underneath him where I was for a long time. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, look, the world is different, and there's only 30 of these jobs. So I always say, even to be considered for one of the greatest compliments anyone in baseball could ever have is to be considered, and you're being considered. So I commend you for that, and I wish you the best. I hope it works out, because I know the goal, when you do get into this part of the game, is to manage. So I hope it works out for you. But let's talk a little bit about the game of baseball today. We got guys hitting 50 home runs and striking out 205 times, and we've got pitchers, the best pitchers in the game, giving up home runs right and left. And if you have to explain to someone how you would manage or how you would handle a game, you have to understand how the game is today. And it certainly changed from the day you were that first round pick out of Fullerton.
Well, it has. I mean, I think the game changes, you know, and we change along with it. It's just the way it's always been. There's been years where there's been more home runs than others and more strikeouts than others. I realize we're on record paces this year, but it could change as soon as next year. You never know. But our club here, you can't build it around the long ball, so to speak. I mean, with our ballpark and where we play, pitching and defense, you know, I think is still emphasized anywhere, but I think it should be at least, certainly emphasized here. And we've done that. You know, over the past years, we've won World Series here. I say we, now that I wasn't here for them, but if you look at the years they won, I mean, it was never a case of hitting a ton of home runs. It was pitching and defense. You know, I'm not going to say we got away from that. I'm just saying that it hasn't been quite as good as in the past. And, you know, due to injuries and, you know, we'll get better on that next year. But, you know, the game just changes. We evolve with it. We change with it. The players change. The home runs all of a sudden real sexy again, and you see bigger swings and more strikeouts. But like I said, it could change as soon as next year as far as the way the numbers go. You know, everybody's talking about the ball. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not. It's just parks being smaller or what have you, pitchers are throwing harder. The balls are going to go farther. That's basically my take on it. So.
Yeah, and look, the bats are better as well, and guys are not taking a 1-2, 0-2 protective swing. People are trying to hit it, and pitchers throw harder, so they're not finessing as much, and the harder they throw it on 1-2, 0-2, when you think they're in control, they're going to blow it past you, and this guy's swinging from his heels, and the ball goes out. But as a manager, there may be a tendency not to play little ball anymore, that you got to sit back and the old Earl Weaver, you know, give me great pitching, which he had, 20-game winners, great defense, and he said, then give me a 3-run homer.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on how your team is constructed. You know, people talk about, well, the Dodgers are preaching only, you know, they're using more of their bullpen and only 5-inning start. Well, they don't do that when Kershaw pitches, and not Wood lately. Rich Hill lately, those guys have been pitching deep into games, and then they go to their pen. It so happened that when Kershaw was out, other guys were out, they had shorter stints out of their starters, and were winning games. So all of a sudden, everybody thinks that's the new philosophy. That's not the case. And, you know, you're going to go with your best guys. We're not going to take Bum out after 5 innings just because we want to go to our bullpen and be better with them. That's not the case. He's our best guy. You change all over, we change with the game. Like I've said it a few times, and it's basically your personnel. I mean, if you got a chance to hit a 3-run, sure. If you're down 2-3 runs, you're probably not going to bunt. But you're in a dogfight in a 1-1 game, and you can see how the game is going that day, the flow of the game. It's a feel, and you may be more inclined to bunt still, and depending on where you're at in the lineup. But like I said, it's the game changes each day. You learn something new each day. I tell the players that you always come to the ballpark to learn something new each day, and the second you got it figured out, you should probably be going home anyway. So.
No, I agree. Phil Nevin with us. A pleasure to talk ball with you. I really enjoy it. Minnesota lost 100 games last year. This week, they're getting ready to have a playoff game. How about turning a team around like that? What about that story?
Well, I mean, if there's anything to look at, for us to look at something positive, it's that. And what they've done without many changes. I looked at it last night. You know, they really didn't make a ton of roster changes. In fact, right before the deadline, they end up trading their best closer and one of their starters. So their coaching staff was all back. Most of their roster was pretty much the same. A few tweaks here and there, but to see what a difference it makes, you know what I mean? And it starts with the start of the season and getting in that flow. And we just never got steamrolling this year. And it kind of steamrolled the other way on us. And then quite the opposite, the Minnesota Twins and what they've done, it's something for us to look at and say, hey, we're all right here. You know, I know it's a bump in the road, and that's all it is. This organization, this franchise has notoriously been in contention. These would be meaningful games normally, and I fully expect that to happen next year.
Yeah, and the other part, Phil, Minnesota is a second wild card, 85, 86 wins. You know, you don't have to get to 100. And that's a different animal to say, okay, just get us in, and we know how to pitch, and we know how to win. So that's another element as a manager. I think you have to say, okay, we just have to sort of get in position to win, and then we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to win their division, and that's a goal, obviously. But if you look at, you know, some of the World Series teams, recent, it's the teams that are in the race until the end. They're playing competitive baseball. I mean, I'm not saying that's what you're going to try to do. I mean, we'd all love to be the Dodgers, what they've done this year, and you know, you're winning the division by so many games, and you can kind of, you know, set things up. But the teams that have been in contention and grinded it out until the last day of the season, and then played that wild card game, and then they've just kind of kept that, as I said earlier, the steamroll through the playoffs, and have had a lot of success. I mean, there's teams that have won 110 games and won by 20 and done well in the playoffs too, just because they're that good. But there's a good story for each side.
Yeah, no, you got to have some momentum going in. All right, so formula for winning. I'll ask you this. For winning a World Series, I'll ask you your formula. What kind of team would you want to see? And then I'll tell you what I think.
I mean, you score more runs than the other team. I mean, that's it. I mean,
I'll give you a hint.
Take a guy like
I'll give you a hint. I like to see two hard throwers in the starting rotation as you head into October.
I mean, yeah, that can, you know, certainly that helps. I mean, a guy like, but I'd take Madison Bumgarner in a playoff game any day of the week, and, you know, he'd probably argue with you, but he's not exactly a flamethrower. He knows how to pitch. He knows how to win big games, and he does that at 93, 4 miles an hour, which now, you know, everybody's throwing 97, 98, but he knows how to pitch. He knows how to get big outs. The moment's never too big for him. And, I mean, you talk about a formula for winning in the World Series, I'll take him on the mound every day of the week.
No, I agree. So I think you need a couple of guys, you know, the hard throwers. And I think you need the three or four in the bullpen, because as you manage, and you will, the starters don't go nine anymore, and you need those three or four guys to take you the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's rare, the starting pitching going that deep into a game, but, you know, like I said, it's just the flow of the game that day. And I mean, give me 9 30 home run hitters and 5 20 game winners and guys with 20-50 saves. Sure, I mean, we'll take it all. But you want the best team. You want the guys to be grouping together and gelling together and play together as a group and really enjoying each other and their time here at the ballpark. And you watch the teams that are winning now. Everybody's got a story. You know, it's, and any team that wins, they always have a story, and you always hear about the story. And because usually when you're winning, those teams are the ones that are closer together. And that's just how it is. And not saying we're not close, but we certainly have our story this year as well. It's a good group of guys. We just haven't won.
No, I agree. And it's a pleasure talking with you. When they did win, I said 25 guys, 25 stories. Mm-hmm. Everybody contributed to a winning team, and I think that's what you're saying, and I agree with it 100%. All right. We talked a lot about your football career last week. Got a lot of good comments about it. Winter sports for you? What do you follow during the winter, and maybe some of the teams you like?
I liked watching football on Saturdays and Sundays. Well, now you can watch a football game almost every night. But, you know, watch golf tournaments, watch football, watch my kids' games. But I really enjoy watching college and pro football games. And, you know, waking up in the mornings on Saturdays and Sundays and having breakfast and just being with the family and sitting around watching games and then barbecue in the afternoon. There's always a game on. So, I enjoy the football stuff. As far as teams, I did have season tickets to the Chargers for a long time. They're gone now. I'll still root for them. I have friends still with the organization playing and around them. But I have, you know, I don't necessarily have one specific team I root for. Just kind of see who's on that day, and you pick one. And yeah, I'm just a sports fan. I like the competitive side of it. So.
I like it. Well, that's what we do for the winter. I said, now you're a coach, boy. I like your winter. Can I have part of that? I wouldn't mind having that as well. But as a player, what did you do over the winter? Because I've asked a lot of these guys what they're going to do over the winter. Did you travel over the winter, and did you get back to baseball right away? What did you do?
I'm on a plane. We're on a plane all year. I don't really feel like getting on an airplane and, you know, for fun. Anyway, I usually go down to Cabo San Lucas a couple times here and there, and it's only an hour and a half flight from San Diego, so, you know, we really enjoy going down there as a family and doing stuff. But other than that, I'll be up here in the Bay Area quite a bit and play some golf out at the Cal Club. I'm a member out there now, so, I spend my time back and forth. A lot of it focuses around playing golf, put it that way. I like my time at home because you're gone so much during the season.
Yeah, these players, I did some interviews with them. They're going to Italy. They're going all sorts of places. And then about November, they say we'll get back to baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sit on a plane for 12 hours. I'm sure it's great going over there and all, but my son's going in a couple weeks, but yeah, I'm not, I eventually, you know, my wife really wants to go over to Europe, so I'm going to have to do that one of these days. Now that my son's taking his girlfriend over there, he's kind of outdoing me there, so I got to catch up.
No, you're cornered. I hear it. You're cornered. They got you. So, look, they're worst things in the world. Hey, a pleasure having you on, as always. This was a lot of fun getting to know you. And now, come on, now I'm reading the paper. And I hope that something good happens for you. And they have you up in that Detroit list. So, as I say, it's an honor to be included. So I hope something good happens for you. But we'll be looking at the paper every day.
I appreciate it. It's, like you said, yeah, it is an honor to just be mentioning that. And, you know, those jobs are difficult to get, as we all know. But you know, my work isn't done here. We've got three more days, and those things take care of themselves in the offseason.
All right. One last thought I was thinking as you were answering. Arizona's in this thing. You must have some of your guys getting ready to get their first playoff games in.
Oh, a lot of them. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of congratulatory messages the last, you know, when they clinched, I'm happy for them. They've worked hard for this. It's a group that's grown together and won together, come up together, and I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, very good. It's always nice to be able to relate to the people that you got ready to get to the major leagues and got them ready for playoffs. So, Phil, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
Very good. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.